Ah, fuck off, get it. The Euros are over. Good evening. Yeah, this is the last of the Euro Trippers. I think it's our fifth show of the whole Euro 16 programme. Could be the fourth one, could be the third one. We never actually keep count because we just don't care after we've done this and walk out of the fucking bunker. We're cutting down the swearing, supposedly. So what's up tonight? Yeah, Monster Gadgets, they sponsored it. They've done the Euro Trippers and they've given away a tablet and we'll announce the winner in the outro, but I do think we have one. I'm just waiting on Neil to text me the details. And get on there, use the Euro 16 promo code for a 10% discount, and there's I think there's smartwatches and there's Android boxes and there's gadgets and stuff like that, but it is all that technical shit, so you'll enjoy it. So get on there. Anyway, up tonight we're going to talk about the end of the Euros, woo! And we're going to be talking about the pre-season friendlies, woo! We're going to be talking about football to do with Liverpool as well, woo! And Sacco, so joining me tonight, of course, we have got Brenzy in. We've also got, well, it's Paul Brennan and Stephen Daly in, as you'd know him from Twitter as well. And we brought Dave Thomas in because we believe he may have written an article today that might have spiked just a little bit of debate around the whole Sacco incident. So without further ado, let's hand it over to the boys.
Alrighty, so okay,
alrighty
gents,
then.
Let's get this on the way.
I feel like I was falling off.
Last of the Euro Trippers.
Getting hot in here.
Steve-O in the nip.
Yeah.
Getting ready for when Nilo gets us to 20,000 followers and has to do an address with his hair dyed ginger. Anyway, so lads, the Euros are over.
Thank fuck.
See, he's all elated by it straight away. And your opinion. Good tournament, bad tournament, good football, bad football.
I think you tend to look back on these tournaments as better football than they probably were. You know what I mean? You look back on any tournament, it's full of shit matches. Mm. You know, so this was no different. There was a couple of good games, probably. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed all the Ireland games, actually, even the one where Belgium tonked us. But, you know, there was very few good games in the tournament.
Very few good teams.
You say that, but truthfully, right, you make it a World Cup. How many better teams come into it? Not that many. Seven. International football is just shite.
Yeah, shit.
So it's not that they're bad teams, because some have to be good and some have to be bad if you're putting a point at which what's good and what's bad. Mm. But international football is just shit. Players don't care about it anymore.
I thought it was, as a Welshman, obviously I thought it was good. It was our first major tournament since 1958. Before this tournament, the last person to score against Wales in a major tournament was Pele, and he was 17.
Yeah.
And now he's under 82. So there
and
we
he's
go.
A wanker.
He is a wanker. But, you know, what I thought, there was just...
Literally.
It's great to have football on, right? So that was my thing. It was like fucking betting and watching the Olympics, which we're all going to want to blow our brains out, though, when the Olympics comes on.
Love Island.
Mm. By the way, that is a great show. that is a tremendous show.
I don't want to admit it, but it's not that it's a great show, but it really does drag you in with the absolute levels of shit drama.
This is a reality show.
Yeah.
Basically, they get all these ridiculously good-looking people.
Right. Who are from other reality TV shows and stuff. And then
the thing is, like, who's
the best of the best?
And basically, it's like, who's going to have sex first? And then the next day, the way people get voted out is about who they want to go to bed with, or who they want to cuddle with. I can't remember what it is. Oh, the person I want to cuddle up with tonight is Paul. So the other guy gets kicked out.
I knew
out,
it was basically. Only a matter of time, buddy.
Who wouldn't? Look at those big, strong arms. Imagine I'm holding you now. But anyway, Love Island. Great show.
Pulling on these tits. Yeah,
who doesn't want to cuddle Dave Hendricks lookalike?
Dave Hendricks' bigger brother. The thing that I liked about it was there were some funny stories in the era. Like Hodgson being Hodgson was fantastic. You know what I mean? Mm. I mean, that was like just the best. Iceland beating England was probably the highlight of the tournament. Just
century.
Oh, as a Welshman, I can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, I was a little disappointed for Wales in the end, because I thought that we'd beaten probably the better team in our half of the draw, which was Belgium. Going up against Portugal, I kind of fancied this, to be honest with you. We probably would have got killed in the final. So,
yeah, you just ran out of steam, didn't you?
Ramsey was a big loss.
Yeah.
More than I thought he'd be, actually.
But I think there wasn't that level of depth in the squad, which there never is at a team of Wales side or Ireland side or anything like that. So, and it's the same thing that happened to Iceland. You know, you get five games in within 2 weeks. That's a lot
then
to ask
for. Then you start losing your force.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you lose people to yellow cards. And
yeah.
How did you feel about the tournament?
Oh, fairly shite in the whole, I'd have thought.
Yeah.
I was disappointed in it because, I think, you know, the last World Cup kind of gave me a false dawn, like, because I've always said that international football is shite. Like, I never like it nearly as much as club football.
Mm.
And then, that first couple of games in the last World Cup, like, there was goals flying in and stuff like that. So I kind of, coming into the year, I was like, oh, yeah, maybe this is going to be good.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a bit of buzz the first few games. And, like, I was just kind of like, I'm going to go and have a wank or put the PlayStation on or something instead of watching this trash.
It was kind of the tournament of bad managers, though. Because actually, the sides were better than they're showing. Like, Belgium should have walked it.
Wilmot, yeah.
France should have beaten Portugal in the final. England were better than what they showed.
I mean, when
Chris Coleman gets to the semi-finals, do you know what I mean?
I don't know what more Deschamps could have done, maybe.
I think Deschamps' biggest issue was not so much the performances, but more his squad selection. I think when he looks back, and he could have had Benzema in the side, he could have had Lacazette.
No, well...
Plus, he built his team.
Benzema. It wasn't his choice to not have Benzema. But Lacazette or somebody like that gave him
a natural goal scorer.
You know what?
But
I think
he had Martial.
I was just going to say.
He plays Gignac instead of him.
Yeah, like I think he. Well, he did play Martial for the first two, maybe three games, and
he didn't start.
He came on.
He started the second game.
And didn't do anything.
Yeah, he dropped Pogba and Griezmann and played Martial.
I haven't bought into this Martial thing, by the way. I don't get it. Like, I go back to Steve's point. Like, I would much rather, if I was the French manager, brought Lacazette, who scored goals for fun over the last 4 or 5 years and is a proven goal scorer.
Well, I had this conversation with Man United fans there recently, who were trying to justify how good Martial is. And I'm saying, it's 60 million quid or whatever they paid out initially, but the overall price is near 60 million
quid. It's not so much as Martial, and I can see the argument for Lacazette. It's more, when you've got that midfield, play three out-and-out forwards ahead of you, rather than Payet, Griezmann and Giroud, which is essentially one forward. Griezmann, Payet has had a good season, but I don't think he's a very good player. I'm not sure he's good enough to build that French attack around.
No, and that's
taking off Giroud and looking to bring that Gignac fella on. That's shocking stuff. Like for a squad that strong. Like,
so that's the bit where I was like, first of all, he seemed to be playing Pogba as the DM, the deepest player.
Mm.
When surely he's better as box to box. He had Matuidi next to him and Sissoko, and for me, that's too similar. And then Payet and Griezmann dropping in. And Giroud has no pace, so you can't get in behind. So it's
you would have thought with that team that you would want to have somebody who can sit on the shoulder of the last man and just bury that 3 yards off him to take balls
or
in
play
behind.
Griezmann up front, and bring someone else in.
Well, taking that, like looking at the final itself against Portugal, they did make enough chances to win that game.
Oh yeah, but I was delighted. I know. Delighted Portugal won.
I have to say, as a narrative to a final, it's like it's your classic.
end of season finisher for a TV show where the star player goes down after like 5 minutes,
yeah.
And they look dead and buried, and you know the other team hits the post and everything looks like just when it looks like it's all over, the fucking reject who's been sitting on the bench for 3 years comes on and scores a blinder to win the thing, and he's the hero all of a sudden.
Yeah, so. Like it was brilliant, the speed of social media for the 150,000 Twitter pages set up as Ronaldo's moth, and the vines of him becoming a manager. Did you see the ones where he's on the sideline, or the one where I don't know who is he sitting beside in the dugout? Did you see that one?
He punches
him on the leg, yeah. And the man nearly cries.
It reminds
he's like,
me.
Oh, sorry.
Years ago when David James was coming off the field, McManaman was in front of him, and he gave McManaman a little tap on the head as if to say, well done. Like, and McManaman was like, oh my God, what the fuck? That can't have hurt.
Yeah, what
the
fuck is
wrong with him? But I mean, for Ronaldo, look, all seriousness, I think Ronaldo's a phenomenal player. Okay, you don't have to like him necessarily as a
you
person.
You have to respect
but
him.
The only reason we don't like him is because he never played for us.
Yeah.
I mean, if he played for Liverpool, we'd have fucking as good as stands.
Ronaldo's at that same level of Suarez. It's, yeah. It's the reason that... We'd have dragged him down to our level.
Faded into oblivion. He'd be playing with Cinema Pongo.
Yeah, he'd be the next Bruno Scherer. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, wait a second. Do you remember we spent like 12 million on this fella Ronaldo?
That's all he does, step over his fucking curly-headed
cunt. 18 years old, 12 million. Fuck off.
Why? Taking it
here because Julio would play him as wing back.
Why couldn't it be like your man Quaresma? Look at him.
Yeah. Stig Inge Bjorn would be getting replaced by Ronaldo at half time. Left wing back.
United signed Mark Gonzalez, and he goes up to play back.
Every time Gonzalez now for Chile. Unlucky Mark.
But I mean, I was delighted for Ronaldo because he's.
He deserves to win something. Like he has come close as a teenager. He came close in 2004, wasn't it? You know, and
that's the year they should have won it. And I think, to be fair, right, they won that with fucking Quaresma in the side
with his feather on his head.
How old is Quaresma? I feel like we've been trying to sign him since Keegan left. So yeah. Like, how old is Quaresma? 55 or something. Yeah. It's crazy that they won with that team. That's the that's not a great international side.
Ronaldo is a fucking geebag, though, isn't he? My God,
I love him.
I know you love him. So he's obviously a geebag.
What do you not like about him?
The kind of the cameras are on me, and I'm not on the pitch anymore, so. I'll be the manager. That's it. That's how the cameras will stay on me.
That's exactly how I would be.
I was that good.
Fuck yes.
Like all this fake fucking humility. Hang on, I'm better than fucking everyone. So I've got to be.
I'm surprised when Eder scored the winner that he didn't go, oh, fuck that now, lads. Like, you know, there's no way he scored in the winner.
Yeah.
Let him score a goal. Yeah.
You see Ronaldo hobbling up to the commentary box to have it put out on the tannoy that he actually scored the goal. Correction, this was actually Ronaldo's goal. Yeah.
Well, according to all the press releases, he was doing the team talks.
Told Eder he was going to score the winning goal as he was going on. Yeah, he pulled him aside and told him he was going to score.
He probably told Rui Patricio that as well.
Actually, there's a player who had a fantastic tournament, the goalkeeper for Portugal. And even in the final, he kept them in the game. We were linked with him and we went to sign Mignolet, so good scouting again.
Yeah. Listen, he had a couple of good games.
I know, but he's a good goalkeeper.
He's a reasonable goalkeeper. He's not Mignolet, but had we signed Rui fucking Patricio, we could quite easily be sitting here 2 years later going, he's not very good. We need
but
to replace him.
That's because whenever we sign anyone, that's my point.
So
no matter how good they've been.
That's my point. Maybe it's systematic of our ability to improve goalkeepers rather than the actual individuals coming in.
Maybe it's just a jinx. Maybe there's a gypsy course or something.
It would be deserved.
Well, let's see what happens with Karius now.
Yep.
He looks shit in all those training photos and diving over the ball. And he looks absolutely shit.
I haven't looked at a single training photo of him. I'm just looking at his Instagram where he's naked half the time.
He's a handsome man and therefore a brilliant goalkeeper.
That is ridiculous. He should just take his shirt off and nobody will try and score.
Yeah. I think his new hairdo is
body painting his jersey now.
I think Klopp is saying, I want you to look like Weidenfeller. The hair is very Weidenfeller.
You think the manager's telling him to look like another man?
Yeah. I want you to be my Weidenfeller.
Seems like a logical explanation.
Here's a picture of him. This is who you've got to be.
Like James Stewart in Vertigo, you know. Yeah. Like, oh, just brush your hair that way. Yeah. Why don't you wear this dress that my dead wife used to have?
Yeah. It's a touch of that, all right.
I don't say Klopp's wife's dead, by the way. I don't know.
Yeah.
And if she just, went just, in the night and they shouldn't be found yet.
The last thing on Portugal, you know, it's great seeing Ronaldo prove that he is better than Messi once for all. But like, it's.
Well, Messi's a cheat, sack him.
Yeah. Well, he's going to jail, you won't have to sack
him. There we go.
But come here to me, how does it feel as a Welshman to be the only team that were actually beaten by Portugal in 90 minutes in a tournament?
Well, you know, if you're going to lose, you should lose to the winners, right?
That's fair enough.
Do you know what I mean? It's like...
That's that bullshit thing you do, isn't it? You go, oh, at least we got beat by the team who went on to win it. it's like when our football team got Sheriff in the Leinster Junior Cup a few years ago, you know, and they were always going to win it. We got them in the third round and they beat us 2-0, and it was like, ah, yeah, at least we lost to the eventual winners. We could have come up against 100 teams who were losing in that round. It didn't matter, but
fairness, we had chances, I think.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, the only thing that was, frustrating is that I think the teams are relatively evenly matched. You know, full strength Wales versus full strength Portugal would have been a good game, but there we go. It doesn't matter. I mean, semi final was great for Wales. I don't think it's a feat we're likely to repeat for another 50 years. So, got to enjoy it. Really, got to be happy.
Maybe not the semi finals, but you have an excellent chance in 4 years' time of coming through your group again and getting to the.
See, the problem we've got is the players. That if you think about who the best players were for Wales, right? So Ashley Williams is 34.
Mm.
Joe Allen, by the time the next Euros comes around, is going to be 33 or 32, whatever he's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, we've got no striker. You basically got Bale and Ramsey, who are young enough, and then Davis and some of these other guys coming through.
But let's look 5 years back, right, and say Bale is still at Tottenham, unable to win a game.
But Toshak 5 years ago, to be fair, he did blood a lot of those kids.
And that's my point. So now is like you would nearly be using this as your next.
And that's
phase
what I would do
through.
Now. And this is where, you know, it's tough for. I mean, England are going to go through the same thing now, where they look at who their next manager should be. But there is an argument for Wales, I think, to go, okay, well, let's start another cycle.
Yeah.
Who could we bring in that's good at youth football, that's going to bring in young players through, has a good network?
Hudson.
Is Coleman that guy? I don't know.
Well, Coleman said he doesn't want to stay beyond the next tournament.
He wants to do the World Cup.
Yeah, which is fair enough. But like, you would think that Wales might have the sense then to maybe bring in an under-21s manager that has the capability to
move
into...
Exactly, that's what they should be looking to do.
Yeah.
You know, even like, and I know he's a figure of fun, but the likes of Pasco or someone like that, you know, who can bring through young players? I couldn't finish it. I tried to get
you did your best. You did your best, mate.
I couldn't get
the nappy.
Well, he is well.
Swinging his giant rattle around. Quicker.
I mean, if the national manager has to be Welsh,
Jackie Lowe was bad with the scratch and sniff. Why didn't he get it out of Pasco in the bonnet and the nappy?
Well, the problem for Wales is that, like, Roy Hodgson got paid £3.5 million a year, whereas the Welsh manager gets paid. I think it's 50,000
and seven sheep,
something like that. Like, it's tiny.
50,000.
It's really tiny. Maybe 150. Maybe something like that. It's tiny really? Money. Yeah, tiny money. Coleman was the lowest paid.
Even Steve, I wouldn't do it.
No chance.
Yeah, you wouldn't do it for a month for 50.
No chance. Not a chance.
Money you're on.
Not a chance. I'd have to fucking quit my own job to do it.
And you'd have to start declaring tax.
Yeah,
which would be a big problem.
I wouldn't be able to say I was living in the Isle of Man.
That's a long commute you have, Stephen. Yes, it is.
Yeah, I take my chopper up from the Isle of Man.
Lads, Poyet was announced as player of the tournament. Ugh. What type of shite is that?
It's picking it off the first three games when he belted in a couple of screamers, and that's that. He wasn't player of the tournament. He completely, when the chips were down, in the
disappeared.
He wasn't there in the Ireland game. He wasn't there in any of the games in the knockout stages. Yeah. I can't remember one single match during the knockout stages. Maybe somebody will correct me, but I can't remember a match where I thought he's even having a major impact. Never mind grabbing it by the scruff of the neck and really driving them forward. He didn't even look like one of their five best players in most of the games.
Who's this?
Play in the knockout stages.
People are going fucking crazy. I mean, even last season, I saw someone on Twitter yesterday say, is there a better player in the world than Paye? Yes.
Many of them.
Thousands. Quite a couple, yes.
Like, I just, like, even last season,
Antoine Griezmann in his own team. Yes, he is better than Paye.
But wasn't, like, Firmino's numbers comparable the, to Paris?
No, only like for about, I had this, yet again, I had this argument, I tend to have a lot of arguments. I had this discussion with somebody a while back, because I was saying from January till about late March.
Head on you.
from January till late March, his numbers actually were comparable. Firmino fell off a cliff then.
But the thing is, if you take Paye's set pieces out, it's a bit like Milner's assist stats, right? You know, if you take out his penalties and
but all of Milner's were by accident.
Look, he's a good player, don't get me wrong, but I think he's been overblown.
This 50 million pound, this 50 million quid and going to Real shit, I think it'll all disappear.
But if Benteke's a 31 million pound player,
Paye is a 50 million pound player if somebody in the Premiership's buying it.
Jesus Christ, Jordan Ibe is a 15 million pound player.
I know. It's just, well, remember, Jordan Ibe is 21 or 20 and English. Paye is nearly 30.
Yeah.
You know?
And fat.
Yeah.
You know, that's the
proper flavour.
He's
of the
definitely going to balloon. He's
the French.
Definitely
Frank Sinclair,
a fan of a tangine.
He is. He's the French Frank Sinclair. Remember Frank Sinclair?
Yeah.
I do remember Frank Sinclair. Yeah,
that's what he is. Or Trevor Sinclair.
Frank Sinclair was the big centre half for Chelsea.
All the old goals.
Oh, for Chelsea.
Fullback with a balloon head.
Yeah. Was he a fullback?
I think he played centre back for Leicester, didn't he?
I think he had centre half for Chelsea as well. But
Frank Sinclair played for Chelsea, but Trevor Sinclair did that overhead kick.
For QPR.
One season when he was like, oh my God.
He was ridiculous. He scored the overhead kick from about 10 yards outside the box.
I'd go step further. He's Tony Yeboah.
Tony Yeboah.
Do you remember three games Tony Yeboah was like the best striker ever?
He had the hardest shot known to man.
He did it to Liverpool twice, didn't he?
Ridiculous bending volley power shots.
Good goalkeeper saves that first.
Yeah. Viduka used to do that to us as well.
Patrizio would have saved.
Viduka, the fattest player ever.
Big fat Aussie bastard just decided to show up against Liverpool every season.
I would have a fucking major sports lead. And I used to cane him about Viduka. That fat cunt playing up front. You should be ashamed of yourself. You had the phone hopping when that was
like, you've got to be
fucking. And by the phone hopping, you mean your landline, because mobiles weren't around at that point.
ring.
Hello, is Paul there? Yeah, I just want to slag him about another goal for Viduka.
Tell him I'm not in.
The 32-10 was doing the rounds back then, it was.
Well, polyphonic ringtones and a colour screen.
Was it?
Yeah, it had 256 colours.
I can't remember what year that was.
It wasn't polyphonic anyway.
It was, yeah. Polyphonic came
32-10.
Yeah. It was the grey one, the black grey one.
That was the 62-10, wasn't it?
No, the 62-10.
The 32-10
was
the little, normal Nokia one. That didn't have polyphonic.
No, the 92-10 is the one you're thinking of.
Jesus Christ.
No, the 62-10 was the smaller one.
Yeah.
What was the one that first came out with Snake?
That was the 32-10.
That was the big.
That was the black one.
The one with
the 92-10. The 92-10 or the 52-10.
He's googling.
Great radio, yeah. That's great radio. That's he's googling snakes.
Snakes. Wrong snakes.
Yeah.
Okay, so then
Jesus, your search history is disgusting, Steve.
Especially when I put in snakes.
Two girls and a cup and a snake.
So Poye wasn't, while Stephen continues to look at the snakes and can't talk to us anymore. You shouldn't have worn shorts tonight. who was the actual player of the tournament?
That's a good question. I don't think there was a unbelievable. I mean, Griezmann probably. You know, if
Griezmann stepped up when Paye stepped down, kind of.
Yeah,
because Griezmann wasn't around during
was excellent all the way through. I mean, Germany, you know, the player of the tournament probably has to come from one of the semi-finalists, right? So it's none of the Welsh players, even though I thought, Bale was good, Joe Allen was good, Ramsey was good, in individual pockets. Portugal, it's probably Ronaldo, just for the impact he has on that team. Germany, I don't think anyone was particularly special for them. They were really disappointing, actually.
Mm.
And then France is Griezmann, really.
The comment for me is that the final were saying that Pepe off Portugal.
For me, it was Pepe. I'll be straight with you.
I didn't stay awakened for enough of their matches.
The defensive displays that Portugal put in, and it was Pepe showing how good of a defender he is. He gets caned all the time for his rashness when he's playing for Real Madrid, but he was controlled, disciplined, and fucking did a brilliant job.
He gets caned for the way he acts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like his feigning of injury or...
That's grand with me.
Bastardness. Yeah, no, obviously, listen, if he's playing for your team, you don't care about that. Yeah, yep. You want more of that in our team. But What I'm saying is that it's what stops them from winning more individual awards. Mm. I didn't see enough of Portugal to make a call on them.
Yeah.
I didn't watch a lot of the games in the Euros, to be honest with you. I watched some of the big games.
That's what I want to ask the lads about, right? Because this is the thing about international football and tournaments in particular, right? Is that every international tournament, when they start, it's like, way! Yeah. Football everywhere, because it's on three times a day and it's like there's nothing but football on the television. You can be drunk, you can be hungover, there's always a match
on. You can be drunk or hungover. Those are the only two states you can be. You're either drunk or hungover.
Yeah, there's when Ireland are in a tournament, that's how it works.
No, just drunk and drunk. Yeah. But like, is it just really that first week is pure novelty, and then by the time you get into the second round of matches, you're used to it at that stage and you just get bored of it, really?
I think it's different things. I think, you know, when you used to watch international tournaments before, you didn't know as many of the players, right? So you would have genuine surprises, you know, discovering some of these teams. Now, you kind of know everyone on every team. So it's, you know, a lot of the teams have become so familiar to you that they're all the same. You know, you find yourself, it's really hard to watch a game of football now and be completely impartial, you know, and not have an opinion about anything. And for some people, that makes it better. So I enjoy it more when I've got, you know,
an interest
in it.
Yeah, someone to hate or something
Exactly.
Like
whereas, you know, maybe in Italia 90, you know, you're not as bought into it. Like, I remember when Holland played Germany in the semi-final of Italia 90. I just thought they had the two best kits. So I was like, this is fucking great. Whoever wins is going to be a great kit in the final, you know? So, or whatever it was, the quarterfinals. So I think it's changed a lot. It's just so much football now. There's so much football.
Yeah, like when I was younger, like we didn't have Sky. So like I'd catch the odd match. It was mainly Match of the Day that I saw. So like when a tournament rolled around and RTE or BBC or something, three games out a day, you're just kind of like gorging on it. You're like, this is fucking great.
I mean, the other problem is there's so much commentary on it as well now. So you're like, you know, if you watch RTE and they've got the three games on, fucking by the end of it, Dunphy just is like having a seizure. He has no idea what to say about anything. You know, when the games are boring, it's just, you know, the filler of the time, and it's the same on the BBC. But the games themselves, I enjoy it. I would still watch three games. I'd watch all the games.
I prefer it actually when there's three games a day. What I find is it's like, I don't know, it's like fancy football or whatever else. You lash into it at the start, and then as time goes on, like for me, if there's three games on a day every day, I'm in that zone of getting used to have a schedule of, okay, I'm going to watch this match, then I'm going to watch that match. When it starts being spaced out that there's 3 or 4 days of a break, all of a sudden I've tuned out of football. And then by the time that match comes around, I'm like, oh, I'm not really that arsed watching this. You know, I don't care whether Wales or Portugal win. Neither of that. It just in no way bothers me. So I tend not to, I lose interest at that point. You know, I only cared about France because I had a few quid on them. And even then.
And because we, you know, none of us come from a footballing superpower, you know, we're never going to win the tournament.
Personally, I
probably enjoy it more. Like, you know, if you're an England fan,
you're still coming from a team that's never going to win the tournament.
Exactly. Yeah, but they convince themselves every year that they have this like peak around the week before the tournament where they interview Ian Wright and he goes, you know, we could do it. We could. We could do a bit of luck. You know, Roy's boys and all that. And then they, of course, fall apart like they always will. Until they appoint Allardyce, and I tell you, watch out then. Allardyce. He's the man. If he can't do it.
Accept their limitations. Just play the English brand of football. It'll be grand.
Exactly. No, like, I don't know why they're even fighting against it. And Allardyce will put Andy Carroll up front, right? He'll play fucking Sturridge next to him. He'll 4-4-2.
Yeah, like, he will. But I still think Harry Redknapp's the man for the job.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm serious.
Terry Venables.
But he is Terry Venables. Okay, so he's the modern day Terry Venables, if you want to take it as that. You know, Terry Venables has been the best. Probably him and Bobby Robson are the two best England managers since Alf Ramsey. So, you know what I mean? Saying Terry Venables, it's not a bad shout. They got within a penalty shootout of what, the semi-finals or the final? Was it the quarters or the semis?
But Harry Redknapp doesn't exist anymore. Harry Redknapp's dead, the football manager. What exists now is like the spit and image version of Harry Redknapp, where he's a rent-a-quote. He can't, he doesn't do, isn't he director of football at like three different clubs at the moment?
I don't know, but he doesn't need to be a day-to-day football manager. I think international management absolutely suits him down to the ground. He gets to go around, watch the different games, pick up on the players. He will pull that, you know what, international football is about getting a group of lads together and building the morale and the team spirit in a short period of time.
I don't agree.
Yeah, that's right.
And he can't bring Joe Jordan and Clive Allen along with him, and Les Ferdinand and Tim Sherwood and Jamie Redknapp and Gary Neville and Gareth Southgate. He can't have all them to do all the fucking work.
That's because that'd be his team.
Well, he can.
Yeah, well, the FA don't want that. They want someone that's going to come in.
But now here's my bugbear with the English setup, right? Is the
English. That's the bugbear.
That's one. But yeah. The other one is that they always think that the international manager, in some way, shape, or form, is going to shape English football and coaching and stuff like that, when in fact, lads, you need to park that, just get a fella in who's going to bring your team together and get
Harry Redknapp.
That's all we have to do.
The idea that they're going to be able to bring a manager in who sets up the structure and delivers from grassroots to winning the World Cup, it's no country can do that.
No country even tries to do it.
Because international football has no fucking in any way an impact on the Premier League.
We're getting deep here, but what the FA need to decide, and to be fair, Marcotti says this all the time, is what is the English FA about? Is it about producing an English first team that is going to go and win the World Cup, right? Or is it about having as many people in England playing football as possible? Is it about grassroots? Is it about making sure disabled and blind and handicapped people can play football? Is it about access? What is their strategy? Because nobody says that. If it's just about winning the World Cup, then that's a very narrow purview. And what they should do is spend all their money lobbying the government to allow them to bring in immigrants to play for them or something like that. Because that's how you do it.
Can't help.
Well, yeah, but they can have a dual strategy. You know what I mean? You can have,
but they've got no strategy. But exactly. I'm actually agreeing with you. And you know, this idea that Wenger would go and be the England manager, it's like all the things that Wenger is good at, right, are the things that the technical director is meant to be doing for England, this Dan Ashworth guy. Wenger's not a great first team coach.
No.
Do you know what I mean? He's not the guy that's gonna go in there and pull a disparate group of players together. But I do think Allardyce, and to a lesser degree Redknapp, I don't like Redknapp, but I think Allardyce would do it. And I think he would, there would be nobody who played for that team that didn't want to play for him and didn't know what they needed to do. And he actually isn't as backwards as we all take the piss out of him. You know, he is pretty modern as a coach.
Absolutely. Like he had Phil Brown and he had Steve. It was Jim. Jim, what's his name?
Jim Smith.
No, Jim Smith. Jim Smith had McLaren. But they were forward thinkers in their time. Absolutely. You know what I mean? And I know we're spending a lot of time talking about England.
And he hasn't failed.
Here,
I said this on Twitter the other day. Like, Allardyce hasn't failed. Really. You can't. Newcastle. It's the closest he's come.
But that was terrible on Newcastle's part. Had they just stuck with him, he'd have done a decent job.
I mean,
there
the other
time.
Candidate is, if we include Redknapp, Bruce, some of these guys, they've done. I mean, Bruce has done nothing but fail. I mean, he's championship promotion is the pinnacle of his career.
And that's my point on Redknapp, is that he is the most qualified in terms of what he has achieved. You know what I mean? He brought a Spurs team
FA
that
Cup,
were down in the
two FA Cups.
Yeah, he brought a Spurs team that were down in the relegation places under Juan de Ramos. And took them to Champions League twice in what, four seasons? You know? So you can.
But he didn't get in one year because Chelsea won the European Champions League.
Like, fair enough, but he still did enough in the league.
I know what you mean,
he
but
did
that
enough
is
in the
10
league.
Years ago. That's the problem he's got, Redknapp.
Yeah, but like, Redknapp wouldn't play hoofball, but he also wouldn't waste his time trying to eat Barcelona, like, basically. Like, Hudson. Yeah.
But neither would Allardyce. That's what I'm saying. I can understand. Yeah,
Hudson has always been a hoofball manager, but he tries to play possession with England, and just fanny around with
Hudson,
it for 5 minutes.
Hudson in England is the pure media manager. So if the
media he's
say
a Fleet that, Street.
If the media, if Fleet Street say, oh, we want to play with Barcelona, he then tries to get them to play like Barcelona. If they say, well, we need Harry Kane playing up front, Harry Kane starts up front. Wayne Rooney was the start. Wayne Rooney started. Basically, Hodgson is a bit like Rodgers in that he does everything to please the media because that helps him keep his job for longer. And that's literally what... That's
because he's incapable of keeping his job through a results-driven agenda, you know? So, anyway.
Right, last bit on the
Euros. Now that we've solved the English national team's problems in the space of
how
20
many
minutes.
Goals do you think that Brendan Rodgers' Celtic are up against a Gibraltar pub team?
None.
They are 1-0 down.
Brilliant.
He's on the way to glory.
Oh my God. Brendan.
Doesn't really matter. He's having a great time.
I tell you, he didn't have to talk some shite since he's gone to Celtic.
not like when he was coming out with wisdom.
I tell you what, Rangers aren't a bad bet for the Scottish Premiership this season.
Right, before we get into Scottish football, which will be next year's any standout moments of the tournament that really jump out with you?
Iceland and Wales. I just thought it was it's great to see. I mean, specifically Iceland, you know, that is a, I talk about Wales not being able to replicate it for 50 years, and Steve was right, maybe we will in the next tournament. But for Iceland, that was one moment in time. You know,
that's Iceland's Italian 90 for Ireland. It's
that one generation of players. Now, hopefully it won't be, but objectively, you'd have to say in a country of 350,000 people, that
I thought the hooliganism was great.
Hell of an achievement.
Yeah.
Christ's sake.
The worst moment was having to watch 50,000 videos of Irish fans singing in France, as if like that's the real quiz, you know.
We won the singing.
That's the real quiz.
I think we went home with more silverware than the Welsh did.
And that's the real quiz.
Yeah, the hooligans was the crack.
We just smiled at the hooligans and they went away.
Ronaldo getting his fucking ligaments blown out was great as well, wasn't it? I know you like him, but
no, well, I wanted to see.
Objectively, he's
won. Well, since they've won it now, it was you won't have to look at him until February. Yeah.
But in fairness, at least we got to see him manage on the sideline. Because if that didn't happen, we wouldn't have got to see him manage on the sideline. So
for another 2 years, anyway, until he takes over
United. Yeah. Follows Mourinho into United after Mourinho kills himself in a centre circle, and then opens fire on you, Alex Ferguson stand. In under my knee all the way. Shoots the lettering off the stand.
This isn't a pre-season friendly.
It's not the Alex Ferguson stand anymore, cunt. I don't know what I was going with.
Yeah, Dave's had a small segue there.
Dave's had too much coffee.
Into Grand Theft Auto. Yeah. Right, so where are we? Yeah, okay. That's the Euros part. Good night and God bless. On to Liverpool back again.
So, Liverpool.
Lads, Liverpool. Pre-season friendlies started.
Yep. Tranmere, baby. Tranmere.
Didn't know that they'd gotten thrown out of the league.
Biggest game of the season it was.
Are they gone into?
I thought so. The commentator said they're effectively a non-league side. I don't know what that means.
Like relegated or thrown out?
No, it must have been relegated.
Yeah, didn't they get relegated from the Football League?
Did they?
Tranmere.
My God, we were poor then. I was still thinking they were League One pushing to get back into the Championship. How wrong was I? I blame John Aldridge for it all.
And Achterberg.
I like Tranmere. I don't know why. Just always had a bit of a...
Did you watch it again?
Did
you enjoy it?
Not really, to be honest with you. Did I enjoy it? It was meh. It was a 6 out of 10 game, but it was our first pre-season game back. Yeah, there was little flashes. The assist for Danny Ings' goal was lovely. It was nice to see Matip playing. It was nice to see Mane playing. I like to see some of the younger lads coming in there as well. Kent's bulked up a bit, hasn't he?
I have to say, I liked your manager.
Yeah, he enjoyed pre-season.
No. He looks like he's been in the gym since he last played for us.
Ajaria definitely.
Yeah. He looked decent, but
definitely a player that could be nurtured.
Yeah, he could be terrible the next
game.
They're
in the fifth tier of English football.
Yep.
In the National League. But they're in the first division of the National League, so to be fair.
There is no conference anymore, is there?
No.
That is the.
It's the National League.
Yeah.
Used to be called the Vanarama League, I think.
Do you care about the preseason friendlies?
I mean, it's interesting because I like watching football, and obviously I'm a Liverpool fan, so you want to see how particularly like the new signings do and how they look, and you know who's. I don't draw too many conclusions from it.
Are they playing tomorrow night?
You know, I remember last preseason.
Fleetwood paints.
That last preseason is
they spotted the league.
Is where the "we don't need Sterling because we have Ibe" stuff came from, because he was pretty good in preseason. But it's our first one with Klopp, and he set up a lot of games, and he's obviously, you know, doing a lot of. And it's just going to be interesting. We've talked a lot about what is his team going to look like. You know, you'd have to assume that he's got at least two more signings to come, a midfielder and a left back. I think probably more. So yeah, that's what's interesting.
There's talk of Chilwell being done now, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about the results or anything like that. I mean, I get frustrated when you see players that should be taking their opportunities and they don't. You know, they don't. For me, it's like,
how the likes of if Markovic doesn't step up in the next 3 or 4
games. How many minutes
does
he think he's going to get?
Yeah.
You know, it's like he should be busting a gut there.
Paul, could you believe that Klopp threw Balotelli under a bus and didn't even pick him in the squad?
Amazing. Under a bus.
Such a talented player. And like, I mean, he just needs the right manager.
So much to
just
give.
Just find the right manager. And he's like, you know, he's going to, I mean, he's
Ballon d'Or.
Well, if anyone, anyone can turn Balotelli around, it's Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, he is a club player, really.
He's
isn't
a total club player.
And he's still only 18, isn't he? So he's like, it's not as if he's kind of like,
he's
pissed away his whole
18.
Career. No, like he's obviously just going to, he's going to pull it out of the bag this season, Balotelli, yeah. I think. 25 goals, 26 assists, and loads of pressing and loads of turnovers is what Balotelli's going to bring to us. I agree with Dev. I don't give a fuck about the results this year.
Defending normally, from the front.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But, you know, like, normally in pre-season, if we're playing shy, I'm kind of wary about it. Whereas Klopp has come out and he has said, I'm doing something wrong if we're playing well in pre-season. Because this is just for running around. That's all these matches are for. Like,
yeah, and they said to him after the game, they said, what do you think of the result? He went, the result? What? We had no injuries. Yeah. I'm happy.
Because that's why he said he has a bajillion matches. Because they're just training sessions, basically. Yeah, and he does it. And if he sees the team playing well, he thinks we're peaking too early, basically.
The only thing that's going to be interesting is, you know, what starts to become his first team. You know, where does Mane play? Has he usurped Lallana, or is it, you know, is Coutinho going? I think there's a lot of, not rumours so much as fears, I guess, that Coutinho would go ahead. Not particularly worried about it. Either way, you know, who starts in centre-half? I think that's the other question. Is it Lovren and Matip, or Matip and Gomez, or Lovren and Gomez? Because they're our only centre-backs.
Three honest lads.
Skrtel hasn't finalised that move. There's still time for him to change his mind.
So Beach say, oh, does he move Flanagan across? You know what I mean?
To play DM.
You know, he might keep Lucas, you know, just to
fuck off. Can't even laugh at that shit. Same with the captain's there. Oh, actually, yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see what he does to centre. In all seriousness, you know, if you play Sacco and Lovren, like he played Lovren on the left hand side. So Matip obviously plays on the right. So does he go? Is he going to go and sign another right sided player? I don't know. So little things are getting interesting. You know, does Milner start? So I think those things are going to be interesting for the. That's the only thing about preseason.
Does Milner stand up?
Yeah. Well, they're when are they back next week?
They haven't.
They've had plenty of time off since they got dumped out by Iceland. So
yeah, they should be back next week.
They should be back next
week.
Well,
the tour starts. Matt is Skrtel with a Fenerbahce scarf.
Cheerio, you fucking shite bag! Yeah! Out the door, 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 out the door. Take Lucas with you.
Keep it here for breaking news, lads. By the time you
hear this,
remember we were first. It is 20 minutes past 8.
Yay! He's gone. Fuck off!
Oh god!
By the time this pod goes out, though, the Fenerbahce fans will have burned him alive.
Yeah, he'll have already played 3 games and be dropped from the team.
Dropped from the wall.
He's who they're going to sacrifice in the first game against Galatasaray. Just bleed him out over the side of the stand. Right.
So outside of that, then what do we have? We've got potentially Chilwell. There has to be another centre midfielder coming in at some stage.
You would have to think so, yeah. Like, there's too much
Zielinski's
talk.
Zielinski's going to Milan now, right? Literally, you've never seen him play.
No,
literally,
not
never.
Once.
You've just
I've heard him talk, though, and he is a wankstand.
That's worse, though, than him.
Did
when
he play
saw
a single run. Minute of the Euros?
I heard he came on in one of the games, one of the nothing games, did he? Was it their last
wasn't
game?
Wasn't even on television? Yeah. Wasn't even on television.
You've actually beaten Phil's first time he saw Markovic run. And I remember being in a WhatsApp and Phil's like, Demo, have you seen the way Markovic run? He runs like Benny Hill.
Fucking waste of money. Everyone hates him.
Yeah. So you've beaten that by just decided by the way he talks.
Yeah. Dickhead.
Him at his training ground for his current club taking penalties or free kicks in a Liverpool jersey is just, that's desperate. Like, that's just desperate. If
with his name on the back of it.
Like, even if Skrtel did that, you'd still 10, be thinking... If Skrtel did that in a Fenerbahce jersey at Melbourne, you'd still be thinking, you tosser. You know what I mean?
No, I'd be saying, go, go.
Throw the fist pumps in that fucking wank.
Lads, we are going to get £20.5 million for Jordan Ibe and Matty Skrtel. Think about that.
Crazy.
And 31.5 for
you.
Ben
just
Teke.
Think about it. Yeah. We could have got 17 million quid for Martin Skrtel a couple of seasons back.
And Benteke has already used two of next season's goals last season.
Crystal Palace don't realise they're signing him minus two. First two goals he scores, the ref's just going to wave play on. No. He used them last season.
Last two goals he scored, not the first two.
Do you remember the Palace fans though had the petition to have him banned
for diving?
And Alan Pardew argued that it shouldn't have been a penalty because it was in the last minute of the game. Logic.
That's not a penalty. It's the last minute of the game.
Can't do that. Not at that point in the game.
It can't be giving away a penalty then.
You know, earlier in the game, fair enough. Like, you know, but not that point in the game.
The Sacco saga. Dave, do you have an opinion on this?
I'm off right, so leave this to it.
Yeah, we can't drill into this too much. Like,
there's nothing to say. And this was the whole point of...
No one knows.
I will say that, and I agree at one point, the club are conspicuous by their silence around this.
I made this point a couple of times today because obviously Dave blew up Twitter with it. But yeah, like, you know, if everybody's talking about how he consulted the club and they gave him the go ahead, if you gave your player the go ahead to take that substance and he took it and then got into trouble, you would be absolutely leading from the front, especially one of your leading players. You'd be leading from the front, defending him, putting your legal team, not advising him to go somewhere else. Your club legal team would be backing that, everything else. They haven't done that. I don't know the facts. I don't want to know the facts at this stage. I couldn't give a shit anymore. It's just got so boring over the last
couple of months. So what I would say is, if I could summarize, I like Sacco. It's nothing to do with me not liking him as a player. I don't morally care if he takes drugs. I actually couldn't give a shit, right? The reason I got annoyed towards the end of last season is that they were talking about him being banned for 2 years. So that's why I said, well, you've got to sack him. If he's going to be banned for 2 years for cheating, then sack him. And of course, social media, you tend to be hyperbolic when you talk about it. But what I would say is this, you know, as I said, sport is full of... Sport is full of athletes who got caught doping. And none of them came out and went... Yes, I don't. They all say, oh, no, I took a substance, someone took
it. I wasn't aware
of it, blah, blah. So all I'm saying is this rush to exonerate him is as bad as my rush to call him a cheat and say he should be sacked. Well, that's the real quiz.
What I couldn't understand today was that people were talking about how WADA, when they're head of that department in Germany, that said, no, it shouldn't be classified as a banned substance, and they said yes it should. I think it was classified as a grade 2 I can't remember the term for it, but if they say that it is a grade 2 whatever and should be prohibited, then that is a banned substance.
Anywho, so basically where we stand then is that Sacco, we don't know the full facts, nobody knows the full facts at this stage, and to be honest with you, it just needs to be resolved one way or the
other. I can understand why people, you know, like the people who are going against Dave are saying that, and it does seem that WADA are only threatening to bring this further because Liverpool and Sacco are threatening to sue them. Mm. It does seem that way, and it's their way of saying, listen, back off, don't sue us, we'll leave it be, let's all just get on with things, you know. But in saying that, you know, still there hasn't been enough. Why has there not been clarification?
But
from
also,
the club?
Like, you know, can anyone think of an example or Malika, you know, of someone gets suspended for failing a drug test, right? Doesn't appeal the second sample, so doesn't get exonerated because the second sample was clear, which Sacco didn't do. He argued the technicality, which is that the substance he failed for shouldn't have been on the banned list, right? Okay, you can argue about WADA and whether they turned up and how they've handled it. You could argue about whether it should be or should not be on the banned list. But he failed the test, right? So he failed it for a reason. Whether they identified the substance as a primary banned substance or as this, what
secondary,
they call it, like
on
a prohibitive list or whatever. And we don't know his motives and we don't know whether he told the club. So for me,
But somebody's come out today and like whoever wrote that retort to you this evening, and it was a it was a well put together piece, a piece of writing, to be fair. But he's come out and said that, you know, Sacco did consult with the club. Now, where has that information come from?
Well, what's been leaked in the Telegraph is that he consulted with WADA themselves.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying he didn't. I've seen absolutely nothing to date from the club or from anybody else who can prove that he actually did go to the club and talk. And they, why would you consult with WADA without consulting your own club doctor? Like, exactly. Like that's not, that's like saying, you know, I don't know, fucking, you know, you're part of a political party and you don't go and see your own leader. You go straight to the president to talk about something.
But why would you consult WADA unless you had a sneaky suspicion of something that, that might be a bit dodgy? Do you know what I mean?
The last, just to wrap on
my final point, sorry, is it's okay for us not to agree on this. Like, you know, yeah, it's okay. It's okay for people to think that he's innocent. That's fine.
Yeah, there's no.
But there's no more evidence to think that he's completely innocent as there is to say
he's done something wrong.
Did something wrong.
Yeah. I hope he sues you.
I hope he does too. And I like him. You know, I do like him. He's not unorthodox, though, isn't he?
he's got a funny way about him.
Always looks uncomfortable on the ball when they say
something. They said it on the television the other night about somebody.
Oh, they did, and they referred it back to Sacco, didn't they? Was it one of the French teams?
It was one of the French players.
Was it Matt Tweedy? Because he does look like Sacco when he's passing the ball. He has the same kind of hunch, you know, pure concentration and everything.
Yeah. That was Matt Tweedy. They said he has the same.
Tap it in.
But yeah, they said he has the same unorthodox style as Sacco.
In that he predominantly kicks the ball to one of his own players.
Yeah, very fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems okay with me. Anyway, listen, Liverpool with Sacco is better than Liverpool without Sacco.
Agreed.
Hopefully he gets away with it.
Yep.
Or hopefully he's cleared or whatever it might be. But hopefully we can just put it to bed in the next couple of weeks, get on with pre-season without this shit dragging on. Yeah. And we have an excellent centre half.
The ideal scenario would be WADA or the UEFA release a report that said it was our fuck up. He consulted with a club. He took a substance that he was allowed to take. We falsely...
They're not going to do that because they leave themselves exposed to a legal suit. So what's going to probably happen is that the two parties agree the no legal action in return for not pressing it forward.
I heard Sacco's going to write an article and then WADA's going to write.
Both will be on our Facebook page.
We got the like off Sacco earlier,
We got the like off.
But what's funny is in The Guardian today, the editor of The Guardian wrote this big long piece about how we're post Brexit, you know, we're living in a world where facts just don't matter. Everyone has their own facts now, like, you know.
Yeah.
And then the Sacco case, I start writing an article on the Sacco case and I'm like, yeah, you're right, everyone has their own facts.
Well, lads, anything else stand out this week? Because there's not really much more. Oh, the only thing I would say about
the Jürgen Klopp signed a contract.
No, the only other thing I'd say about the Liverpool
No,
you've got me wrong here. The last bit that happened yesterday was Liverpool got rid of one of their physio. And they've replaced them with the under-21 physio.
Well, Chris Morgan left in the summer.
That's right. He left early. Ago, he went to go to Wales.
He was a club doctor, was he not?
No, he was the head physio.
All right.
So I think that will complete the purge of the Rodgers crew that we brought in. Like plus, that he brought in.
Plus, we started putting up the emblem on the main stand.
We did start putting the crest up on the main stand.
The crest start going up on the main stand.
I you know, all those pictures of the main stand and the,
actually it does look well now, to be fair.
Actually, one of the things that came out that was probably brushed over is the fact that they're using the exact same pitch again this year. They still haven't replaced the pitch.
Well, have they not?
No, it's the same desert.
Surely that's going to have a problem. Well, I don't know what way the lie of Anfield is, but you would think with a higher stand it's going to restrict sunlight and therefore the regenerate. Listen, I suppose
5% artificial and then they sow in the grass.
I was just going to say it doesn't really matter now to an extent whereby a pitch can be, you know, years ago you had to regrow your pitch. Now it can just be dug up and relayed in a day. You know what I mean? You can have a new and give it a couple of days to bed in.
They've seen the pitch or something.
And it doesn't matter how good you make it. James Milner's face is just going to dig it all up.
He's going to leave it like the surface of the moon by mid-September.
No, actually, right? The pitch that they have is designed that clumps don't come up. Yeah. The two of them, and then you get Milner.
They haven't tested him yet.
Yeah, he's their test.
Even if the pitch was made of tarmac, they'd still be
We do have to talk about Klopp and his new contract.
Jurgen Klopp gets a 6-year contract, boys.
Does it mean that is, as some people have said, and it makes sense, is that a way of tying down our most saleable asset in terms of pitching the club to new owners? Some people are saying that I saw Tony Evans there talking about how it was a bad move. And that the club, should be working on the basis of let them prove something first, and really that they're turning down every offer that's coming their way at the moment. So
God forbid we hired a 2-time league winning manager who's been to a European Cup final, and is probably.
I see what his point was. We had a contract till 19 with an option for us to extend by an extra year if wanted anyway. So, he wasn't.
I think it's a statement of intent.
So do I.
And I don't think this club is going to be built around.
He can do what he wants. I reckon they've changed the terms of it as well.
I was just going to say, I think there's more of that to it. Yeah. I think it's more a case whereby they've said, okay, this fella knows what he's at, which you always expect he does, but you just don't know until you get somebody in. And they felt. Ayr is leaving at the end of next season. At the end of this season, isn't he? He's stepping down the end of this season.
No, he's not. Ayr's been leaving fucking every season for the last 4 seasons, along with Akterberg. He's been sacked more times than anybody else in the world. And every year they pop back up.
Sacked more times than John from Tesco.
What FSG are famous for, right, is
like, not getting rid of Akterberg.
It's falling in love with the newest concept, right? Yeah. So they have all these advisors or whatever. So the newest concept is Jurgen Klopp's a genius. So they've gone, fine, throw away.
And that's what Evans is kind of saying. He's kind of saying that.
But this is... To be fair, I also think it is about the fact that they're looking to bring investment into the club, whether that's a sale or whether that's
partial sale or whatever it might be. Yeah.
And having Jurgen Klopp and saying this guy is going to be running the football side of the business for the next 6 years is smart.
It is smart. And you know what? He is a draw for sponsors. He is gold in terms of what he gives you, from a... If he's driving around Opals and having a laugh in them, he'll do anything. You know what I mean?
He's all over the TV, isn't he?
He is. But I mean, he is a very good ambassador for the club in the way he goes about things. And if you're trying to bring in investment or bring in new sponsorship or whatever it might be, it's a smart
move. A business perspective, if you think about the corporate world, the hiring of a new CEO, for example, which is the equivalent in football of the hiring of a new manager, has the potential to drive stock price up or stock price down. So I'm sure they're looking at it like going, how do we provide some stability, make it more attractive to investors coming in, and put the future of the sporting side of the business in someone's hands that knows what the fuck he's doing.
Plus, there's the other side of it, that if you look at it this way, he's got a year left after this season. If he has a good season now and a club comes in for him next summer, they get a 1-year compensation, because the fact that they've got an option for a second year doesn't mean they get that as compensation. So they get a 1-year compensation.
I see how it's looked at irrelevant.
As was it needed. Yeah,
I can see that, but I don't see how it's a negative. It's not. It can't be a negative.
There's nothing negative about it.
To say Klopp is signed on for long, I just don't get that.
On the footballing side, he's one of the only proven people we've got. Like, hardly any of our players are proven. Like, we talked about the fear of losing Coutinho. He hasn't had a good full season yet. So by that logic, we can't give him a new contract. Like, it's up to him to prove to us.
Plus, we need to buy in to Klopp over a period of time anyway. Like, if he doesn't have a great season this season, I'm not going to be sat here, next May going, we need to get rid of him.
I'll be criticising his decisions and stuff.
That's fair enough. That's life. You do that in work, you do that at home, you do it wherever. But I'll still be saying, okay, well, then he gets another year. Like, I'm happy to take the Wenger approach on this.
Yeah.
And say, okay, give the man a chance to come in and actually build what he wants to build over the next 5 or 6 years, and then make a judgment on it.
Also probably said to him, there's going to be a lot of change in the club, right? So Ayr is going to go, there'll be a new CEO, right? They're going to bring in some strategic investment or sell.
Yeah.
And I think it's their way of saying, throughout all of that uncertainty,
you're a constant.
You're a constant. And we don't want to give you reason to start looking at Barcelona or Real Madrid or Bayern Munich or whatever.
Yeah.
Because make no bones about it, if those vacancies were available, they would be looking at Jurgen Klopp.
Of course they would.
Yeah. And lads, to wrap it all up, let's just remember, Martin Skirtle has gone to Villa Madrid! Fuck off, Kinderhead. Right, so a quick admin then, and no music, sorry about this guys, but a bit of a rush on tonight. So as ever, big thanks to the lads at the Astro Park for letting us do the pod on a weekly basis. This of course was the Euro Trippers, so that's all wrapped up. So get down and play your five aside at www.astropark.ie. Also big thanks to the lads at Munster Gadgets. Don't forget the discount code is Euro10, and that'll get you 10% off the any purchase that's on the site. And the lads are continuing the sponsorship of the show through the pre-season, so we'll have more offers for you to give away as we run into the pre-season friendlies, etc. that's going on. Of course then, your day trippers tonight, they were of course Paul Brennan at Brenzy, Stephen Daly at Steve-O Sideways, and Dave Thomas at Satriali80, but you'll know that because he's been all over your timeline today. And of course it was me, Phil, fuck yous if you don't know me, don't know my Twitter handle at this stage, who cares. But anyway, we're back as the LFC day trippers last week. Thanks for listening over the Euros. Good night and God bless.
There's something right here.
They're away. They just said
the Lincoln Red Imps FC.
Brendan Rodgers
That's 84 minutes in. That's not 20 minutes into the match there.
Rodgers continues.
Is it two legs?
Fucking Champions League dream.
No, Benteke.
Eric Shevchenko.
Eric Shevchenko.
Sviatchenko is playing.